It's so good to be here. I treasure these moments. Thank you, Pastor Matt. And let's pray first. Father God, I just thank you so much for your love. Your love is so amazing and so incredible and so beyond the scope of our flesh. Thank goodness for that. So, Father, you be blessed tonight. And more than anything, may you feel loved and cared for by each person here tonight. And take us behind the printed word, Lord. Show us the nuggets that make your word so alive and so rich. And Lord, I pray that people listening, they will be touched by your presence. I declare this through your blood and in your name, Jesus. Amen. I have a picture of my family here. It'll be there. There it is. That was just last week. I wish. But I'm 33 there, and that's my beautiful wife, Lynn. She's 32. And that's Amy. She's 4, and now she's 48. She probably wouldn't appreciate me giving her age. But anyways, the reason I put that up there is I was a young principal in Cincinnati at the time, and my life, the life of my family, was going to dramatically change here within a few days that this picture was taken. I got saved on October 21st, 1979, and this was in the fall. And it was an amazing experience. We were attending a Methodist church at the time. And I've mentioned before about an English Pentecostal pastor. Well, he came and he shared the love and the power of the Holy Spirit like I'd never known. I didn't know anything about it. I knew nothing. If you got me to give $5 in the offering plate, that was good. So, anyways, that was my day. As I stood weeping and received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, here's what I felt. I felt the deepness of the love of God for the first time in my life. And I was raised in a church. I went to church every Sunday. I treasure my Lutheran roots. But for the first time, I felt the deepness of the love of God. And the rest is history. It revolutionized our family. Within a few years, we were all water baptized. And then a few years after that, we were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget that Sunday. Sunday evening, we were at a Sunday night service. And Lynn got filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, she was just overcome. So we finally got her home. Remember that, Mark? We finally got her home, and she sat there for 2 hours just weeping and praising God and speaking in tongues and finally said to the Lord, I can't do this anymore. But all of us, including the kids, Tim, Mark, and Amy, we got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what, there's nothing like that. How many of you have experienced that? It's not feelings. It's power. A big difference. Our feelings can play tricks on us. But anyways, at one of the first things that happened to us, I started attending Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. You know, that clock's not working back there. Uh-oh. I started attending Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. How many of you heard of that? People as old as me, you have. And Lynn started attending a GLOW, which would be the woman's equal to Full Gospel, where she eventually got healed of migraines totally and completely and never had another. I don't even remember ever having a headache. And by the Happy Hunters, how many have heard of their healing ministry? And I think their daughter is still doing it. So that was a glorious time for us. But Full Gospel took me to a whole new level, a true love of God, healings, gifts of the Spirit, a hunger and thirst after righteousness, and intimacy with my Jesus. And I'm still searching after that, still following hard after him after all these years. That's 44 years ago. Well, that'd be nice to go back to that, I'll tell you. But anyways, but it gave me all that. We were surrounded. What else would happen to us? We were surrounded by amazing Christian mentors. That's so important. Amazing Christian mentors who taught us so much about God's love and his word. I still love those people, and they've gone to be home with the Lord. At that time, as an elementary principal, my school became a mission field. So much so that parents would refer to the school as a Christian school, and it was public. But what they didn't realize is I got persecution for that, too. But we actually got away with it. However, because of this, there were times of persecution. Lynn also had in the back of her classroom, another building within the same district, she had the golden rule proudly displayed. Can you see that happening today? I wish it would happen. We can make it happen. So we spent, and then from there, we, as our love multiplied inside of us, as the love of God multiplied, he began to direct us. And we ended up then, beginning in the mid-90s, down at City Gospel Mission, in the heart of Cincinnati, in the heart of the inner city of Cincinnati, in the neighborhood called Over the Rhine, which at the time was one of the five roughest neighborhoods in the entire United States. And we thrived in that environment. We thrived in that. For two decades, we dedicated ourselves. You talk about love. You talk about an unlimited love. We were in love with those people in that difficult area. They were homeless. They were hopeless. There were murders. And we thrived down there in that environment. Those services in the chapel, I still remember. I remember probably a 12 or 13-year-old girl in the back, like would be, she'd be right there. And she was orchestrating all these little kids to come forward to receive Jesus after I was done preaching. They would whistle. They would shout, "Preach it." You know what that does to somebody like us? It energizes us. It was... I'm going to try. Okay. But it was so amazing. And in that neighborhood, we one Saturday with all the pastors that conducted services at the mission and so forth, and a lot of the parishioners, we did a prayer walk. And we walked to the seven different sites in that neighborhood where murders had occurred. There, I'm going to tell you something. Being on the front lines energizes a believer. And that's kind of what it's been hard for me lately is, you know, I haven't been on the front lines like I was. Len and I spent two decades at City Gospel from doing Sunday night chapel to teaching classes to the homeless and just serving them. I remember one time we walked into the chapel service and they would just be celebrating before we got there. And they were supposed to be homeless and hopeless people. Somebody would be playing the keyboard, the most beautiful music. We went to, one time at Christmas time, they came up to us. One lady came up to us and says, "My friend here wants to sing O Holy Night." I said, "Okay, let me get things started," and she could do that. I kid you not, when she came up and she sang it a cappella, I've never in my lifetime heard a better rendition of O Holy Night. These people were so special. So the power and love of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus, I'm here to tell you, and you already know, is unstoppable. Unstoppable. Stay that with me. Unstoppable. Now, I want to share, go on. I want to share a very short story. It's called The Love of God as Seen in the Gift of Christ Jesus. And it's presented by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. All of you know him as one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. He lived in the 19th century, and he died at the age of 58 in 1892, I believe. But here's a very short story. Has it really gone down that fast, that clock? A story has been often told of the fondness of parents for their children. How in a famine in the East, a father and mother were reduced to absolute starvation. Remember, this is the 1850s. And the only possibility of preserving the life of the family was to sell one of the children into slavery. So they considered it. The pinch of hunger became unbearable, and their children, pleading for bread, tugged at their heartstrings that they may entertain the idea of selling one to save the lives of the rest. They had four sons. Who of these should be sold? It must not be the first. How could they spare their firstborn? The second was so strangely like his father that he seemed a reproduction of him, and the mother said that she would never part with him. The third was so singularly like the mother that the father said he would sooner die than this dear boy should go to bondage, and as for the fourth, he was their Benjamin, their last, their darling, they could not part with. They concluded that it were better for all of them to die together, willingly, to part with any one of the children. How about you? What you would all make that same decision. And then Charles Spurgeon says to whoever he was preaching to, he says, do you sympathize with them? He says, I see you do. Yet, you know, listen to this. Yet God so loved us, to put it very strongly, he said, he seemed to love us better than his only son and did not spare him that he might spare us. I've never heard, maybe you have, I've never heard it put that way. That he seemed to love us better than his only son and did not spare him that he might spare us. He permitted his son to perish from among men, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have to say, Pastor Sky's message on Sunday was amazing. I'm going down all the points, you know, I'm thinking, my goodness, that's my message on Wednesday. So I'm thinking, well, I got time, I can change the message, but I really felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, no, I want you to preach that. I want you to teach that. You've heard about, you know about in the Bible about double emphasis of passages concerning principles and precepts and so forth. I believe he's trying to get through to us, which shouldn't be too hard because I tell you what, this is a beautiful place, hungry people. But he's trying to get through to us about what his love really looks like and that we're to do something with it. So that's kind of what my message is. But John 3:16, for God so what? Loved the world. And we'll get into which kind of love that is real quick here. Gosh, I'm running out of time so fast. Anyways, to God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We hear that so much that I think we can actually become flippant over it. And we should not do that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then, of course, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Somebody asked me one time, what are the fruits of the Spirit? And I didn't know, couldn't remember them all. I made sure that I would never, ever be put in that position again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Love. But in verse 17 of John 3, 16, 17, and 18, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. You see our mission. You see our mission. How many of you have family peoples that you're praying for? Family members that don't know Jesus. And then here, the power of his name. Why are they condemned? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The name of Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus will break through anything. The name of Jesus will draw people to the Father. The name of Jesus. Well, I want to take just a minute here to share about exactly what love in the Greek culture was. During New Testament times, there were four Greek words, primary Greek words, that describe the concept of love. The first one is eros. The Greek eros is the term of sexual love, from which we get the word erotic. In Greek culture, this word referred to sensual, carnal impulses to satisfy or gratify the sexual desires of flesh. Thus, eros is not a giving love. It's a taking love. But rather, it denotes a sexual demand. It is not a love that seeks to give or to please someone else, but a carnal love that seeks the fulfillment of its own desires. Now, hear this. This love is so flesh-based, and so far removed from the level of love that God expects from us as believers that it is never included in the New Testament language. How about that? It is not the type of love that believers should aspire in their marital lives. The next kind of love, number two, is storge. The Greek word storge primarily pictures the love that exists between parents and children, or the love that exists between members of the family. It has also been used to portray the example of the love of a nation for its ruler, or even the love of a dog for its master. But the real idea of the word storge is devotion. So we've got eros, sexual love. We've got storge, which is devotion. And I'm sure you heard of the next one, which is phileo. But Paul also used the word storge in a negative sense. In 2 Timothy 3:3, he says and explains that he uses the word storge as a love without natural affection. So what was he suggesting there? He's suggesting that a time will develop in the last days when strong family ties and devotion to one's family will deteriorate. If you don't believe we're in the last days, all you have to do is look around what's going on in America with the American family, with family and relationships. It's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching. So Paul warns that one of the principal signs of the last times will be the deterioration of the family and of traditional family values. Did I tell you the title of my message was A Love Far Beyond Words? A Love Far Beyond Words, and we're going to get to that in a second. And, of course, the third form is, you probably have heard, is phileo, and it describes affection. For example, affection between boyfriend and girlfriend, okay? Affection be shared between two friends. And it carries, really is the Greek word for, it describes the attributes of friendship. Now we come to what the love of God is. So we have eros, we have storge, we have phileo, and now we have, anybody know what that is? I'm sure you all do. Shout it out. Agape. Agape. Maybe I'll give a little information here that you didn't know before. Agape is a word chiefly used in the New Testament to depict the love of God, the agape of God. One scholar refers to it as a high-level love, for there is not higher, finer, or more excellent love than agape love. It occurs when an individual sees. I want you to evaluate yourself now. It occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of a person or an object like a Bible, causing the viewer to behold this person in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. Now, that's a lot. That's a big definition for that word. In fact, his love for that person or her love for that person is so strong that it's irresistible. Have you had an agape love for somebody. I mean, remember now, it's not a romantic love. It's an agape love. Have you had that way? Have you felt that way with someone that they were just irresistible to you and you knew you had to do something? You knew. And this is the kind of love that the Holy Spirit is trying to birth through us in this church. So think about it this way. When God looked upon the human race, he stood in awe of the human race, even though it was lost in sin. He looks upon you and I in awe. He really does. He sees you and I as a finished work. How do we see ourselves? Or how do you see that guy over there that you don't like? You wish he was a finished work. That's flesh. It should be obvious to all of us that God admired man. He wondered at man. He made mankind the highest appreciation. Even though mankind was held captive by Satan at that moment, God looked upon the world and saw his own image. You know, Paul, God sees his image in you. Mark, he sees his image in you. Yes, even you, Ben. He sees his image in you, Andy. That's what's so amazing. Now listen to this. The human race was so precious to God, and he loved humanity so deeply that his heart was stirred to reach out and do something to save him, to save the human race. God's love drove him to action. So when you are operating, and you and I are operating in agape love, it will drive us to action. If there's an individual, I remember one time it was a teacher in the district. I was a principal. Oh, I had such a burden for that man to learn Christ. I took him the full gospel. I did everything. I even wept over him. When agape gets a hold of you, you will be moved to action. Well, let me wrap this up here, because there's a short story I want to close out at the end. How many have read the book, The Case for Heaven, by Lee Strobel? Came out 2 years ago. Well, I want to close with that when I get there. But when you love with such a pure love that you expect nothing back in return, it is impossible for you to feel hurt or let down by the response of the individuals who are on the receiving end of your love. If you really love somebody with an agape love, you won't be hurt by their motive or by their words, whatever. You won't be let down. You'll keep loving them for who they are. You know, we are not to love them for the purpose of getting something in return. We shower them with love simply because we love them. Are you there with somebody right now? Are you there with somebody, maybe a family member? You love them. You're doing whatever you can. You're walking agape love with them just because you love them. This is why we need the Holy Spirit controlling our lives, because it's not possible without him. We can't do it. And this is why it's important for you and I to always check our motives all the time. Why are we really doing this? Why are we paying all this attention to this person? Why are we think we're loving? Is it because we're so needy and we want something in return? But agape love loves and loves and loves regardless. We leave the results of what's going on in that individual's life to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. This is the way I pray. I've been praying for a long time. I'll say, I pray just plain that I have just praying love for my God, that I'll just pray. And I say to him, I say, Father God, or Jesus, I say, I love you. I just want to love you because of who you are. just because of who you are. No strings attached at all. None. Just carry me away into your deep presence. That's agape love. We must realize that the seed of God's word has been sown into our human spirit. The potential for this divine love is within all of us all the time. So Jesus was all about low-level people with high-level love. And I'm going to read the story here. The truth, though, listen to this now, what agape love is calling. God is looking for people who know how and are willing to pay a price. To undergo any hardship needed, to confront the power of hell, and to dig trenches and carry burdens until their assignment is completed, just as God ordered it. Our agape in return to him is our, how do we agape love him? Through obedience. Obedience. I want to close with this story now. It's a true story. It's about a professor named Howard Storm. And he's an art professor of art at Northern Kentucky University, which was about 30 minutes from where I lived in Cincinnati. And he was an avowed atheist. And he died from a stomach ulcer that had perforated his duodenum. And here, listen to this now, a near-death experience. Not all of them are positive. Oddly, he found himself standing up next to the bed, feeling better than ever. He began to follow some mysterious but friendly visitors who beckoned him down the hallway. Then this turned into a trek of miles with conditions getting darker and darker. Suddenly, the strangers who had greeted him so warmly became rude and hostile. Now it was pitch black and Storm felt stark terror. Stark terror. They began pushing, hitting, pulling, kicking, biting and tearing with their fingernails and hands as they laughed and swore at him. He fought back. He fought back as best he could, but he was mauled physically and emotionally in the struggle. And he says, Professor Storm says, there has never been a horror movie or book that can begin to describe their cruelty, he recalled. Eventually, I was eviscerated. I definitely lost one of my eyes. My ears were gone. I'm lying on the floor of that place. And so now I have eternity, time without measure, to think about my situation. Because I had lived a garbage life, I'd gone down the toilet, and I realized this is the horrible part, that the people who had met me were my kindred spirits. They denied God. They lived for themselves, and their lives were about manipulation and control of other people. My life was devoted to building a monument to my ego. My family, my sculptures, my paintings, all of those were gone now. And what did they matter? I wasn't far from becoming like one of my own tormentors for all eternity. Eventually, he says, he called out for help. I yelled into the darkness, Jesus, save me! I have never meant anything more strongly in my life. A small light appeared, way brighter than the sun, and the hands and arms came out. When they touched me in that light, I could see me and all the gore. I was roadkill. All that gore began to just dissolve, and I came back whole. And here's what he says. He felt a love far beyond words. Let me say that again. He felt a love far beyond words. If I took all my experience of love in my entire life and could condense it into a moment, it still wouldn't begin to measure up to the intensity of this love that I was feeling. And that love is the foundation of my life. From that moment on, he's actually a pastor now of a small church. That's the agape love of God. Of Jesus. We can trust him, can't we? Wherever you are tonight, you can trust him. He'll deliver you. Remember, he is our Redeemer. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our protector. He's our preserver. He makes us whole through his precious blood. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much. You're so wonderful to us. I thank you for the power of your love that conquers everything. Everything. So, Lord, as we just give ourselves as an offering to you, just say to the Holy Spirit in your own spirit, I surrender. I give you all that I am. I give you all that I am, Lord. Carry us away into an intimacy with you we've never known, into that high level love, so that when we reach out to those that are hurting so bad and that agape love begins to move through us, we can make a difference for that individual and show them and point them to you. And Father God, I just thank you. You're so wonderful to us. And again, I pray that you have felt so loved and so cared for tonight. How precious you are. And I declare this through your blood and in your name, Jesus. Amen.